Right, so faith and witness. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm actually going to be doing a series on this the topic of faithful witness. Man, I tell you, being a faithful witness has its challenges, but it has its moments of encouragement. I should say encouragement in this life. A faithful witness seeks out to be faithful in all things, and that is all things that they have committed to, and that is so great. We're going to be on the book of Job this morning. We're going to talk about Job. Oh, Job. Did he have some trying times or not? Some challenging times or not? While you guys are getting over to Job, I want to read something. Fair weather friend. I don't know if you know what it means, but it means a person who stops being a friend in times of difficulty. We do not want to be known like that or by that title in our relationship with God. When it gets difficult, all right, God, I got to shake you loose because I've got to do some other things. But we do not want to be known as a fair weather friend when it comes to our relationship with God. If we jump ship, abandon the boat, things get difficult for us in our relationship with God, man, we will abandon each other. A faithful witness. A witness is a person who has seen something with their own eyes, or a person who has experienced an event or was a part of a situation as it was happening. A faithful person or a faithful witness, they are loyal, constant, and they are steadfast. Every day, more and more faithful witnesses are being added to God's kingdom, his rule, and his authority. And every day, these faithful witnesses are being protected, nourished, and loved. Now, God is the ultimate parent, and the parents of this world got their ability to brag and boast about their kids from God. God is always bragging, boasting about the faithful in his kingdom. He is the original proud parent. As a parent, he is training and preparing us for the journey every day, because every day is new. And to have a faithful witness make it across the finish line, you must train him and her in the way they should go, as Proverbs 22:6 says, and spur one another on, as long as it's called today. Raising up a faithful witness requires commitment to the apprentice or to the person that you're training. And it requires that you train them for success. Shaping a faithful witness requires sculpting. Sculpting them, you must have a plan and a vision for what they should become. Making a faithful witness requires that you teach them everything you know about the profession that you are in. When you are able to do all three tasks with a faithful witness, and it produces a great work in them, and it makes you proud. Are not they worthy of bragging about? Job, one of God's faithful witnesses, whom God raised, shaped, and made. Now, Job lived during the same time period. This was fascinating when I looked this up. Research. The fellow that Job lived during the same time period as Moses. I thought, wow, you know, but when I read that, it just speaks to where, you know, that God is all over the world working. He's in a lot of places, even though we may feel like, you know, God's only here and God's not there, but God is working in a lot of places. But we found out that God, you know, that at the time when God was working with Job, he was also working with Moses at the same time period. God was working with Moses down in Egypt and in the desert. At the same time, he was working with Job over in what we know as the Arabian Peninsula, or as known in Job's day, the land of Uz. So them guys are not too far apart there. Now in the book of Job, chapter 1, I'm going to read this here real quick. Chapter 1 down to children have sinned, having cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. So some things that we're learning here about Job's family, Job's current living situation of his day, his status, and this is practice. What we learn is that in verse 1, that God speaks about Job's integrity and his faithfulness, his respect for God, and how he shuns evil. Man, I would love for God to speak about me that way, or to see me in that light, that my character would boast that this is who I am. That God said, let me point this out about my faithful witness and what he or she looks like on a daily basis. Verse 2 and 3, you know, God speaks about Job's prominence in the community. Job had a large family, 10 kids, you know, a bountiful livestock. I mean, Job was just loaded. And in that day, definitely, if you had a lot of livestock, you were considered to be very, very wealthy. But then, y'all, in his day, Job was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Now, a lot of us don't want to change that status, but some of us, like, I would have loved to have had that status right there. I'm the greatest person over here among these, and I am very wealthy as far as he's concerned. And my kids, wow, they're just living a great and really a lush life. But God speaks today in verse 4 about a tight, how Job had a very tight family bond, and then how they have had appreciation for life, and they celebrated with banquets, and how they made sure that when the brothers did something, they always invited the girls. They invited the ladies to come over. Bring your family. Come, we're celebrating something. Don't know what we're celebrating, but they were a very close family, and they had an appreciation for life, and they loved one another deeply. They loved one another deeply. The scripture talks about just their bond for one another. Verse 5 speaks about Job's love for God and his love for family. It says Job would pray for them. And, you know, I think about this as a father myself. And one of the things I pray for when it comes to my kids, when it comes to my wife, when it comes to my friends and loved ones. But it says Job prayed for them, and he prayed for and about his kids because of his respect for God. That's number one. And number two, he prayed because he thought that maybe his kids might have cursed God in their hearts. As family, as people, we don't think that a family member, like, oh, they're not thinking that. Really, no, they good. They great. But Job had this kind of, foresaw or hindsight, like, you know what? It's a good chance that while they were hanging out and partying, being together, they might have just really, some way in their hearts, have cursed God. And Job, like, I need my kids to make it. And they may not fully understand where they are right now, but man, I'm going to pray for them. Let me get them over here. I'm going to pray a prayer for them. You know, and Job was really stepping in as a defense, kind of as an offering for God, like, look, I'm stepping in here in behalf of my kids, just in case they're being ignorant. I don't know no better, but I'm going to pray for them because they need to understand what it means to have great respect for God, but also I love my family. But the thing about this was, I love it in here. It says that this was Job's regular practice. What is your regular practice as a faithful witness of God? Mm. Do you ever start to think, what is my regular practice as a faithful witness of God? You know, something that I do here, I tend to sit out on my porch in the morning, I sit in one of those chairs, and I have a cup of coffee, and I just talk with God. That's one of my practices. I just talk with God about everything that's on my mind, that's on my heart. They keep me up, bothering me. Just talk to God about that. That's one of my regular practices that I usually do in the morning. You know, I know my neighbors looking like I'm crazy sometimes, because sometimes I get up in the chair and I walk to the end of the sidewalk with my hand behind my head, and I'm just praying, I'm just talking. Sometimes I walk up under those three trees and I'm just praying and I'm just talking. I'm like, well, they're going to think I'm crazy. Let me go hide behind this tree while I'm talking to God. That's just what I do. Sometimes I walk in that back door of my carport, I walk down the driveway, and I just walk around the edge of my property, just talking and praying a little. Just thinking. This is just my regular practice, things that I do to give God. While I'm making it like, what can I do to the yard? What do I want to do to the yard? The Lord, please stop praying. I'm tired of the grass growing. I don't know. You know, just this is what I do as a regular practice. I sit at my dining room table. share my faith. You know, it's one of my songs we sing. I couldn't keep it to myself. I just cannot keep it to myself. And I talked to a ton of people. And I found joy in that, planting seeds in the hearts of people. And like you, I can see a lot of times where people are at. And I'm like, but I can just plant a seed and pray. I give away one of my cards and I pray. Plant a seed and pray. And some of the fish jumps on the hook, and some don't. Some look at the hook and go the other way. They tell me I can keep my bait. I can keep the word. I can keep moving. Some, they come and I have conversations with them and I talk and I think, amen, this was just encouraging, God. If we can get a little further, some I never hear from again. But you have to ask yourself, in your relationship with God, you claiming the status of a faithful witness of God, that you're loyal to God. What is your regular practice when it comes to God? When you think of that question, consider all the blessings that God has bestowed on you. Consider all the blessings that God has bestowed on you. And ask yourself, what is your regular practice when it comes to your relationship with God? Job gave a great example of what a relationship should look like in the midst of being blessed. Job did not let all that he owned, all his wealth that he had, he did not let it go to his head. For you and I can wake up tomorrow and God can say, guess what? In the terms of money and your generation, you are wealthy now. You are rich. God may say, you know what? You're a millionaire. Some people say it's not enough. We will say, oh, that's more than enough. I'm quitting the job. I'm retiring. I'm going to balance that money out. I'm good. You know, Job was rich. Job could have got comfortable and did nothing else but enjoy life. But God speaks highly about Job's integrity and his respect for God and how Job constantly shunned evil. Didn't have to. Job could have said to his mind from an earthly point of view and said, I can buy anything I want. I'm the greatest man in the East. Didn't have to. Job gave us a great example. Whether you are poor, broke, famous or not, a great example. What it means, what it looks like to be a faithful witness, especially you have a lot of blessings in life. You know, with Job, God has raised, you know, him to have deep convictions, shaped him to be strong in the faith, and made him a force to be contend with. You know, God wants to raise you up continuously with a deep conviction. He wants your convictions to be deep. God wants to shape you to be strong and grow stronger in the faith. And not only has God made you, but he's still making you a force to be contented in the gospel. Job 1 verse 6. Oh, man. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but you know, maybe before you knew Christ, maybe after you knew Christ, you knew the Bible, but sometime our names will be mentioned in conversations. And they were not mentioned in the best light. And, you know, this saying has been said many ways. What is saying, you know what? Keep my name out of your mouth. There's another one that our parents would say, if you ain't got nothing good to say about nobody, don't say nothing at all. Now, we're good about quoting that, but sometimes it's kind of hard for us to put that into practice. You know, but the Lord, like, okay, I'm going to work with you. You are a work in progress. But you know, the Lord has a conversation about us. And you would think that the Lord would be having conversations with the right people on the right side, which is God's side. Why would he be having a conversation with his number one enemy, who is our enemy? Why is the Lord having that conversation? Well, we're going to look down here, I pick it up in verse 6, and we're going to see how everything starts to progress and unfold in that direction. And it says, one day, the sons of God, talking about the angels of God, it says, came to present themselves before the Lord. Of course, this is what they do, their regular practice. And guess what? Satan also came with them. The Lord asked Satan, where have you come from? Of course, he says, from roaming through the earth. Satan answered him, and walking around on it. You know what I'm saying? Just roaming the earth, going, yeah, and there. Just roaming. It's kind of like almost talking to a child sometimes. Yes, the child, where you been? What you doing? Oh, nothing. Just walking around, doing nothing. This one. You know, you're basically just looking for something to get involved with. But when I read that scripture, I couldn't help but think the scripture over in 1 it says, you know, beware of the devil, who's what, roaming around the earth like a roaring lion. Why is he wandering the earth? And he's been described as a roaring lion. Why? Because he's looking to devour you and I, God's faithful witness. He's just not wondering for no reason. Think about that. He's not, this life is still like, no. He has a purpose. He has a reason for why he's wondering. But it's amazing how Satan just shows up with the sons of God. They're there to give a report, give an account. What's going on? And Satan comes along with them. So one thing we learn is we know that Satan has direct access to God. He has something that we long for, but he has direct access to God. So a conversation begins in verse 8. It says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? No one else on earth is like him, a man perfect integrity in integrity, who fears God and turns away from evil. I would love God to boast about me like that. Those are the words that have been laying out head about me like that. And of course, Satan answers the Lord. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you placed a hedge around him, his household, and everything he owns? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he owns, and he will surely curse you to your face. Wow, there's the request. There it is. You would think, why would God offer me up? Why would God offer me up in this conversation? Why couldn't you offer a rich God? I think Glory's in a much better position in her faith than I am. I think Patricia's doing great. Hey, the Colbank family, look, Lord, they moved on faith. I think you should have that discussion about them with Satan and not me. But Satan didn't seem to have nothing to do. And God, as a parent who is bragging and so proud, look at my child. Have you looked at him? And of course, you can tell that Satan has. Because Satan said, well, I can't touch the guy. You've got this hedge of protection around him. You've blessed him with everything. Who can get near him? Who can draw close to him? Who can even touch or harm him? When you've got him protected and you've blessed him so well. Wow. God brags about Job. Job says you have protected him. Satan tells God, so here's the thing. Satan tells God, say, look here, if you stretch out your hand, understand who has to give permission, who has to approve for anything to come my way. Satan said, if you stretch out your hand and take away his blessing, remove his edge, destroy or strike down everything he owns, which comes from God, he will denounce you, he will curse you, he will flat out turn on you. You know, I have to ask you these guys, why are you a disciple? Is it for the blessings only? Is it for the good things that God has given us? And the good things that we are continually expecting God to give us? Is that why we are disciples? Why do you worship and follow God? Is it only for the good message? To hear the encouraging message always? To hear that life is going to be great, it's going to be good, God will never do no harm? Why are you following God? Is God only good for the blessings he provides? Is that all God's good for to you? The blessings that he provides? Is that it? Do you love God in the worst of times? That's when the test coming in. Do you love God in the worst of times? And I appreciate Julius sharing earlier about the situation the world is in. It is truly wartime on all continents, but we live in the United States. So it's wartime in the United States and all kind of different areas, all things going on. And the enemy, you got to realize, as he has asked God, can he take a strike at us? He has also asked God, can he take a strike at anybody else in the world? But man, even when days look bad, people just look dark and they look at their worst, and some of that falls on your lap, falls on your front porch and your yard, falls on your desk. yes, at your job. Man, do you love God in the worst of times? Do you love Him in those times? Are you faithful even when God stretches out His hand to strike down everything that you own? The lives that are so dear to you. Those are challenging questions for people to really think about. Man, I love God in all times. But Scripture says that nothing can happen unless the Lord stretches out His hand to move the hedges back just a little bit, or maybe a lot. God has to move back certain parts of the hedge of protection that we have back a little bit to let things happen. So now we think, why Lord? People ask, why God? Because we think like, I don't need to be tested. I think I've been tested enough. I think we're good. Keep the hedges up. Let me cruise on into heaven. And everything's all right. Well, I said, nah, you're looking a little complacent. You're looking a little relaxed. You've got too comfortable. You don't want to do nothing. He said, no. I'm going to slide it back just a little bit. God said, not only because you looked away, but I've trained you to be a faithful witness. I've raised you up to be faithful. I'm shaping you to be more faithful. I'm going to continue to make you faithful. And one of the ways of doing that is I'm going to allow you to be tested by the enemy. I'm going to have conversations about you with the enemy. You know, Luke 22:32 it speaks about what Jesus is speaking with Peter. This also speaks to Scripture, as we know that the devil was able to come to heaven. But in Luke 22:31 Jesus tells people, Peter, and he says, look, the devil wants to sift you like wheat. That way he says, the devil has been asking about you. You and I need to know that the devil has been asking about us constantly on a regular basis. For what purpose? He wants to sift you like wheat. I don't know if many of you took a home economic class. It's probably called a culinary class in high school now. Who knows? But I remember the first things I learned how to do was sift flour. You get that little mesh strainer, you get that little thing, you crank it around, and it's sifting. Because you want to sift out a lot of the bad stuff, or you want to break something down to it, and really just break it down to like this last compound is going to be fine. The Lord says, Peter, Satan wants to do the same way. He wants to break down every particle, every nerve, everything he can break down to expose a flaw in your character, to expose a weakness in your loyalty. The devil challenges God every time to say, I guarantee you, let me sift them like wheat. I will show you where they are not true to you. Just like Peter, the devil has asked God, can he sift you like wheat? Just like Peter, the devil is in heaven. He's having a conversation. He had a conversation about Job, and he had a conversation about Peter. You rest assured he's having a conversation about you. And the devil is always asking about you. And what is God's response? That you are worthy to be tested, and that Satan should consider you. And this blows my mind that the Lord said that you should consider me. You know, I've got to go back and pray. Why should he consider me? I'm minding my business, God. But the Lord says, no, he should consider you. Why? It's because God says you are his faithful witness. You are worthy of the test. Finally, guys, in Job 12, verse 12, after Satan pleads his case about how Job has been protected, Job has been blessed. The same thing he said about us all the time. Those guys have been protected. Those guys have been blessed. Of course, they're going to be faithful. Of course, they're going to stick to you. For what? I would be loyal to you if I felt like you were doing me the same way. But the Lord heard Satan. He said, I'm going to take you up on this and show you that you're wrong. And in verse 12, he says, very well, the Lord told Satan, everything he owns is in your power. However, do not lay a hand on Job himself. So Satan left the Lord's presence. I don't know if Satan ran out of there with joy or whatever, because he got this permission to go and just wreck Job's life or walked out of there, but I can assure you that he was very happy that he was given permission to wreck everything that was dear to Job. Because he was determined to prove that number one, that everything that Job had, Job loved more expose you, and it will be seen. And then Satan will show God, and guess what? I told you. I told you that they would curse you, that they would denounce you. You know, nothing comes to you, good or bad, that does not pass us through God's fingers first. I want you to remember this first part. Get a chance to go back and study this back out, Job 1 through 12. Nothing comes to us, whether good or bad, that does not pass us through God's fingers first. It just doesn't. All things that has happened in your life in the past, and it's currently happening now, and things that have yet to happen in the future has to be approved by God. Now we understand this world that we live in now, yes, Satan is the prince of this world. He's going to tear it up. He's going to continue to do what he do. But God is the owner of all things. And there's a day determined for when Satan and all those who side with Satan must give an account. But you and I were faithful with. We're going to stand firm. We're going to continue to let God raise us up. We're going to continue to allow God to shape us and make us a force to be reckoned with. So when Satan does come our way, he will think twice. He will realize, just like Job, we will be summoned. Just like the saints who came before us, the prophets, the servant leaders before us, man, the apostles, he's going to realize this is a force. Guys, we're going to continue on this series through the month here in September, Unfaithful Witness. And this is only the first part of it. And I want us to understand just a little bit about Job's life and how God thinks of Job and how God thinks of us, the conversation that God is having, and how God has encouraged an encouraged parent to brag about you. God said, you are worthy to be bragged about. And God guarantees it to Satan, and guess what? You will not break one of these members here. They will not tap out. They will not give in. They will continue to be faithful. They will continue to be loyal. And they will stand firm in their faith and their convictions. And they will grow deeper. You see, as faithful witnesses, we are God's light in this world. We are God's shining glory in this world. Like Job, God wants to make us great in our community of where we are. God wants us to make us great. We will be known as like, hey, these are some of the greatest faithful witnesses of the South. God desires to continue to bless us because he loves us. He wants to continue to bless us because of our integrity, because of how we shun away from evil. Man, because of how we are faithful and we have a healthy and meaningful respect for God and his standards. God wants to continue to love us because he says we are worthy. Remember, as I close out here today, that nothing comes to you good or bad that does not pass us through God's fingers first. But everything that does come to us is for a reason. It is meant to refine us. It is meant to raise us up, shape us, and make us. It is meant to make us God's light in this world, not only to other disciples, but to those who are lost. Job is a great example of a faithful witness. As we know, who endured a lot. He endured a lot. But we are built the same way. And we can endure the same. Guys, I'm going to pray. It won't be a last song. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open the floor for some discussions.